This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This video is sponsored by Voxy.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Blues Focus podcast. Back again with another live episode, ready to hear all your thoughts and suggestions from the biggest news of the day, which, of course, is Wayne Rooney sacking. So tonight I'm joined with Jamie Lawler and Zach Woods, and also a new guest who we're going to be seeing a few more times on this channel over the next few weeks. Ben, nice to have you on the channel, mate.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on, mate, and obviously... Good evening to you two boys as well. It's nice to have you back on together as well, actually.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Been a while, but good to be back.
Yeah. Christmas life and the joys of uni work, I think, have crumbled us all over Christmas. But we're back. We're back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously today we'll be doing a very interactive podcast. It's not going to be like the typical ones that you're quite used to with the channel. It's going to be more of like a Q&A session. So we're definitely going to be reading out a lot of comments. I'm seeing a lot of people putting their stuff in already because obviously it's kind of hard to listen to a live podcast without too much interaction and with it being such a big topic as well today and so depth and such in depth as well and so many different names floating about, which we will start off with a little bit of a monologue, I suppose. But I'm gonna come to you for a first question, Jamie. Obviously, yeah. Surprise.
You ready, mate?
Give us your thoughts on Rooney's time at Blues.
I tried to be very optimistic. I really did. I think the way I can probably sum it up, and this sounds bad to say, I got used to losing again. It didn't It wasn't like the what do you mean we've lost? It was like, oh, we lost again. All right, cool. Like, it was just, the players just didn't look interested. It wasn't enjoyable to watch. There was sparks and moments of what Rooney was clearly trying to implement, but football's a results-based business, guys, and you can't pick up 10 points out of 45, go from sixth into, and we are pretty much edging towards a relegation scrap now at this point. Like, we need to kind of very quickly act. Mm-hmm. It's not looking pretty. We're 20th now. Like, what's going on? What's happened there? Yeah. Like, we crumbled.
I mean, like, the comparison from Eustace is like so stark, really. I mean, like, Eustace's performances weren't particularly anything to shout about, but like the start of the season were like, they were much better than Rooney. So I mean, like, the all of that sort of stuff for me, Ted Hag to comparison. I mean, like, though, what's the manager in your opinion who should come in, really?
I mean, if I'm a dreaming man, you give me Steve Cooper every day of the week. Do you know what I mean?
Like, really?
He took Forest up. He knows the league. He plays nice football. Like, he goes for it. And I mean, what showed me the most is how much someone puts into a football team is that Forest went through that horrendous run of form before Cooper was sacked. And they're all sat there singing his name at the end of the game still. Yeah. Like, showing their support for him. Don't get me wrong. They've got Nuno now and they're doing great, but why not? Why not go for someone like that who's clearly want to play fearless attacking football? Steve Cooper plays fearless attacking football. Yeah, you go for a safety option, that's fine. But if they want to implement this, if they want to hold what they're saying and go, let's go attacking football, bring someone in who's going to do it. Tony Mowbray, he loves to play attacking football. Mm. Why not? Don't get me wrong. Would the safe option be bring back Eustace? Yeah, and I wouldn't be against it. Gary Rowett wouldn't be against it. But it just feels like we're just doing the roundabout then with Birmingham City, doesn't it? Like, just stop, like, just bring in someone proven as well. Like, if you're going to do it, Steve Cooper has proved himself Tony Mowbray has proved himself. Like, bring in someone who's proved himself.
Yeah, like, no,
don't bring me in someone whose third or fourth job it is, doesn't have the proper experience, because this is what happens. A good professional footballer does not make a fantastic manager, and we need to learn this very quickly.
Zach, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the whole Rooney situation, I'm glad the owners have made the decision they've made. It could be very easy to keep Rooney throughout January and see what he does. I think if we had our previous owners, they would have kept with what was going on and not been willing to make that change and just let results keep getting worse and worse and worse, as we've seen in the past. But I'm glad the owners stepped up and actually made the decision to sack him. A good time as well, obviously, with the January transfer window coming up. So I think we're all in agreement that to let Rooney go was the right decision. I think 95% of Blues fans are happy about that. In terms of a new manager, I mean, it's tough. As you said, Jamie, I love Steve Cooper, but I just can't see it happening. He's just recently managed Forest in the Premier League. Crystal Palace, he's rumoured there. I don't see why he'd take that step down again to come back into the Championship when he's proven himself as a Premier League manager. In terms of other options, I mean, it's so tough. I mean, looking at the odds, it's varying every sort of few minutes, isn't it? I mean, who are we getting? I just don't know. So many people are suggesting different things. Even Eustace's name has come up. It's a difficult one. In terms of who I'd want, I honestly couldn't say, because so many names have been bandied about. But hopefully whoever it is does a slightly better job than Wayne Rooney's done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ben, give us your thoughts on it then. So, I mean, what was your opinions on Rooney at first?
I think ever since his first couple of interviews, he always seemed to be bigger than the club in my eyes. And he was already calling out the players after the first couple of defeats. And it's like, I understand where he's coming from, but if you want a team to play well, you need to support them. And yeah, I think he just went down the wrong path in the end. And I think he had everyone on board. You know, even under the circumstances of Eustace getting sacked, we were all shocked, but everyone was on board with him and we tried to give him the time. But in the end, I think his time was up. And I think even after a sin, he was sacked. I was surprised by it, not in terms of he didn't deserve it. Just I thought they were going to be stubborn and give him the January transfer window to see if he overturned the results. But thankfully, they didn't do that. But it's just the same question. It's just now who? It's a difficult position, because it's not like we can just go with someone to the end of the season if they want to, you know, build up this expansive attacking football. Because then who's going to take it if it's just a short-term job? It's a difficult one.
Mm. So who do you think is the best fit, and who would you prefer to step in now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Cooper's top of the list, but... Mm. Is that dreaming too high? It's one of them. Honestly, I like the idea of Lee Carsley. You know, he's obviously not proven it in the Championship or anything, but he was caretaker for us for a couple of games early.
Yeah, and
you know, he's doing a good job at the moment. So if we're going to give someone a chance, at least they have to have at least a record with them. And yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if I just interrupt, if you look at John Eustace prior to coming to Blues, his only job was Kidderminster Harriers. And it just shows, I think John Eustace is a case in that you don't have to have tons and tons and tons of experience to do a good job in a Championship or a good job in any league. And John Eustace was exactly that point. You know, we were fifth before he was sacked. And now under Rooney, who's got all the footballing experience in the world, taking us down to 20th. So I agree with you, Ben. I think Lee Carsley's doing a decent job.
Yeah.
He's got experience at Blues. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him coming in.
Mm-hmm. Zach doesn't like John Eustace because he was manager at Kidderminster.
Nah, to be fair, I'll tell you why I like John Eustace. I'll tell you why. I think, and I've said it a few times on here before, but I think he epitomised Blues in that he grew up in the area. You know, he wasn't a manager from a, you know, he's had... been with big clubs, top six clubs, Premier League clubs. You know, he's worked his way up from Kidderminster to the Championship. I think he epitomises Brum and the city of Brum, hardworking, all that sort of stuff. I just loved him. I think the connection with the fans and players was brilliant. I loved him. And I think he proved that, yes, he had rocky patches for sure, as in after the World Cup and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But recently, or at least prior to being sacked, we were fifth in the Championship, and I think he did a really good job for us.
That's what I was like meaning about Rooney. Like, he'd never really shown the passion as a Blues manager. And even with his statement today, there's no mention of the fans or the players. And it's like, at least Eustace, he weren't the great footballing coach, but he got the fans. And I think that's probably the most important for us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We do need to quickly jump onto a few questions, because we've got our first ever little donation from a viewer first. So FPL Ezos donated $1.99. Would you take Lampard? Love the content, guys. So throwing that one out there immediately. Come on, someone take it.
Oh, I don't know. It's a tough one, Frank Lampard. No. I mean, he did well. You wouldn't straight up know.
You asked me yes or no, and I'm just going to throw it straight out there. I think what have we literally just learned in the last bloody 2 months? I know Lampard's had some good spells. I know he did well when he was at Derby. But we need stability right now. This season, in my opinion, we need a bit of stability right at this very second and just claw away from this now. Like in the summer, we can spend big, fantastic. But right now, No,
I agree.
We can't be experimental. We can't experiment our way and end up playing Grimsby away or something. This should be going down. Not a chance.
I don't disagree with you personally. If I had to say, I wouldn't want Lampard in, but to play devil's advocate, he did all right at Derby. He got him into a playoff place at one point and got him to the playoff final. At Chelsea, I think in his first season, didn't he get fifth or something or sixth when they were under a transfer embargo? So whilst Lampard may not be the option everyone wants, and I'd probably agree, I wouldn't want Lampard. Having said that, he's managed Chelsea, a top six Premier League club, and got them a top five or six finish. He did well with Derby and got them into a playoff place. He is, I think, unlike Rooney, he has proven he can be successful at a club, both in the Championship and top-end Premier League. So when you say all that sort of stuff, it seems silly to not want him. But having said that, I do think there are better options out there.
Yeah.
If he came in, I'd support him. I think that is what it is with this club. I will support whoever takes the managerial role of Birmingham City Football Club, and I'll get behind it. But it is what it is. You just have to kind of go, oh, okay, what are the other options? But like you said, he's got a much better CV than Rooney did, doesn't he? That's, I suppose, the other side of it. What do I know?
I'm not an expert. Yes.
I think it's just one of those. I think even if we did want Lampard, I don't think he would come in. Down to the fact that the owners have already showed that. I would say we gave Rooney time, but it's a short span to prove his worth. And I think even Derby, it did take him a while. And then at Chelsea as well, it was like, it just doesn't fill me with hope. And I think we need someone now with proven record, especially in the Championship.
I agree.
And although Lampard got Derby to fifth, sixth, I just still don't think he's proven himself yet.
I completely agree. Yeah. I mean, the sort of the vibe in the chat is pretty much the same. People saying stay well clear of Lampard. Yeah. People are saying that the Cooper deal is done. Obviously, there was that tweet out earlier saying that Cooper has agreed terms. I didn't look too much into the tweet. I don't know who it was from, but I was editing and doing other stuff with the channel today as well. So didn't have time to look into how reliable that source might be. But there's a lot of talk of, bringing back John Eustace and Lee Carsley as well, who obviously, Ben, you mentioned. But then also like people like Neil Warnock and everything as well. So there's a lot of names. The only one person who I wouldn't be particularly for is Jesse Marsh, who I'm being seen pop around. There's a guy in the chat saying that just stay well clear of him as well. And yeah, I don't think that's a... It was like we were just saying with Lampard, wasn't it? Obviously, that's a step backwards as well. Not a step backwards. Sorry, actually, it's probably not the right thing to say. But like in terms of like, it feels like a decision we've tried to do with Rooney.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like a Steve Cooper or like a Gary Rowett or somebody to bring back in, would be the safer option at this point, just because we need players to feel comfortable under a manager. And I don't think Lampard would be a terrible choice. I know that some people are very against him. I mean, Gerrard, definitely not. I definitely don't want that to happen. I mean, like,
the fact that we've been linked with him in two months in Saudi Arabia, not a chance.
It's not going to happen, is it?
And he's ex-Villa.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, fuck him off. Don't know why we're having fucking Steven Gerrard in the
team. Off.
Gerrard's just, we're not even going to entertain the idea. But I think the good thing is there are an awful lot of options out there at the moment, aren't there?
True.
If we'd sat Rooney 3 or 4 months ago, there was a period not long ago where there just wasn't really any options. And I know a few clubs are holding on to managers because of that. But, you know, there are so many names being bandied about at the moment. It's not as if these owners are short of ideas. If one doesn't want it, chances are another one does. So we are very lucky to have a large number or a large pool of managers to pick from at the moment.
Yeah, true.
Because if one doesn't work out, there's always that second option.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, there's Ralph Hasenhüttl as well, obviously the old Southampton manager. Not a particular big fan of his. Don't think that would be the smartest idea. I think he was, he sort of had the form with Southampton, like how John Eustace did for the last sort of few months of 2022. Like, just couldn't buy a win, couldn't do nothing, but he just kept his job somehow. I feel like if we were to get him, I'd feel like, I don't know. I don't know what he can offer as a manager just because of his track record at Southampton. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting, again, Premier League experience, which is certainly no bad thing. I wouldn't say no to that one. I know towards the end of his time at Southampton, things were really looking poor. But again, I think it's always hard to turn down someone with Premier League experience, because at the end of the day, that's where we want to get to.
No, true.
Yeah, I think I agree with that one. Like I said, we need somebody who's proven it in the Championship and at least have some recognition in the Prem. And he does have that. And I think that is what we need right now. And so I wouldn't be fully against it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few other names as well. Interestingly enough, and this is somebody who I'd have absolutely loved before he went to Uruguay, Marcelo Bielsa. And if you were to ask my brother about this, he would absolutely just go apeshit about this sort of stuff. He loves Marcelo Bielsa. He can't get enough of him. But yeah, he won't. I don't think he would come out of Uruguay, would he? He's got too good of a team going on. He's obviously, they've qualified for the World Cup, and he ain't gonna come to the Blues at this point, is he? We've got to go a bit more realistic. I've seen Will Stills also being put into the mixer, but it's also like Potter as well. I mean, I said this in the video I put out a couple of hours ago. There's a release clause that Graham Potter's got that Chelsea are not gonna I think they have to get it paid off, I think, because obviously they signed that enormous contract like they have done with so many players this season, where they just, you know, at any point they can just sell a player for like a fuckload and just get money back for them because of that massive contract. So I think the thing is with Potter is it's just not going to happen, despite the fact that he would have been the ideal manager to have put in charge when the new owners took over. And that would have been, like, could you imagine a team at this point had we have got Potter in at the start of the season? That would have been amazing.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's why we're in a bit of a sticky situation now, because are we just going to get a manager in for the rest of the season, or are we still looking, you know, 3 years' time? And then it means offering another manager a 3-year contract. And it's like, if it doesn't go to plan again, we just, we are caught in a bit of a cycle at the moment. It's just, and it begs the question, what would have happened if we kept Eustace, you know? It's in everyone's mind.
I think my biggest fear is that we cannot become Watford. We cannot do the Watford motion of 4 managers a season. We can't be doing this merry-go-round. We need to find stability now. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm making myself look a mug here, because 10 minutes ago I went, we need to just find someone to stabilise this season. But we do, but upon the summer, we need to find a permanent, if not now, bring in a permanent to hold it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We don't want to be that club that is just insecurely sacking managers. That is not what we should be about.
Yeah, this is what's so frustrating with the sacking of Eustace, because we were in a good position. It's one of those where if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I still think there was just no need to do it. And I get the whole PR and all that stuff, more attention to Birmingham City. Don't get me wrong, I do understand that. I understand that football's, you know, it's not all about the football. Football is a business as well. But still, it's so frustrating. We were doing so well. We had that stability. It's normally either on the pitch or off the pitch is going on wrong. But the first time at the start of the season, everything was going right. And as soon as it started all going well and dandy, we shot ourselves in the foot and we get rid of Eustace. However, having said that, we can't keep looking back. What's happened, what has happened, the past is the past. We've got to start looking forward. to a new manager, whether it will be useless, it might be, who knows, but we've just got to focus on getting a good manager in, give him January, give him some money, some investment to build his squad, and hopefully we can start finally pushing ourselves up the table. Mm.
Don't get me wrong, I loved, and I know we're going back into a useless debate now out of nowhere, but I love
we can talk about that, definitely.
Everyone is talking about it in the chat.
If you do look at his run, though, coming into them games before Huddersfield and West Brom, it was an appalling run, in all fairness. And I imagine the board made that decision that he was gone pre-Huddersfield. So that decision was already implemented in place anyway. Like, if he had drawn both them games or lost one of them games, we all would have just gone, yeah, right, fair enough. It's probably, you know, the form has dipped here. The form has slipped apart here.
I think in comparison to the form we've been in lately, that form wasn't as bad as we perhaps remember it, because the games were...
Obviously, we've been crap.
Yeah, I mean, the games before... So obviously, before Huddersfield, when we won 4-1 at home, we'd lost to Norwich the week before 2-0. Then QPR, we drew 0-0 at home. That was a bit of a dull game. We lost to Preston, which we played really well in, but just sort of shot ourselves in the foot on the pitch, really. Watford, we obviously had that ridiculous game with Keith Stroud just being like a moron, handing out about 9 yellow cards. And then we drew with Millwall the week before, but we beat Plymouth. Obviously, that was probably a little bit of a win by the scrape of our teeth and everything. But I don't think we've... Like, when you compare like the form that Eustace was in compared to Rooney, and obviously they wouldn't have known this at the time, but like, I don't think, you know, to say that he was sacked before the Huddersfield game, which might be true, obviously, you know, you never know with things like these, but like, I don't know, it's hard, isn't it? Because, yeah, like you'd think like it wasn't the form that he was sacked on, it would be the idea that the board had about making the team bigger and more attractive to like investors out there. I mean, and I get that, and I do really. It's suppose it's like a bit of a backwards thinking mentality on the pitch, because you bring in a manager who's not really had the sort of mentality of winning games and everything, like a Tony Mowbray, like a Steve Cooper or someone like that. But it's still a bigger name than them, obviously, because Wayne Rooney is a global icon, really. So I don't know. It's hard to say whether he was sacked on form, but I don't know. That's what Simon Jordan on TalkSport's been saying, isn't he, about autograph hunting, really, but that he's used that term.
I think it was always in their plans. It was just the timing of it. And
yeah,
I think if Rooney proved himself and, you know, was a championship top manager, then we'd all be sat there like, okay, I get it. But even when Rooney first come in, it was like, we kind of understand, but not fully. It's like, we had to go for someone big who was going to get us promoted that season. And I don't know if that was the owner's thinking, whether they fought too soon and wanted to get promoted too early. I think they got caught in two minds, because everything else is going well, you know, since the owners have come in. And this was just one of their mistakes. And thankfully, they've rectified that early on in the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's not been too late, hasn't it? I mean, it's... Nah. I mean, it's always difficult as well, because like, you can't say, oh, like after 5 games they're going to sack him like they did, like Palace did with Frank de Boer. But like, as well, the 15 games, and we've had 2 international breaks in that time, I think, as well. So it's a long time, isn't it? And like, we appointed him in mid-October. We've now sacked him in early January. We've won 2 games in 15 games. It's bad, isn't it? We've not even lost those games, because I will give credit to Gianfranco Zola. The fact that we played decentish football under him, and we just couldn't win because we didn't have the same team that we do now. And that's what's absolutely fucking infuriating with this team, is the fact that we have a really good team. Like, Ethan Laird is easily a Premier League right back, in my opinion.
100%.
He probably has like injury issues that probably hold him back a bit, but all those players would absolutely thrash that Zola team, honestly. And yet it's just the way that they've played them and everything. But yeah, let's get back to some comments. I saw somebody say Scott Parker earlier, I think, actually. What did you guys make to that?
Yeah, again, I you know what? I'm just so lost at the amount of names being mentioned. Scott Parker, yeah, I think, again, will be decent. I don't know too much about Scott Parker's like track record. I feel like fairly accustomed to most, but Scott Parker, I'm not.
He was at Bruges lately.
Did he take Fulham up?
Yeah, he did, yes. Joe Bryan got that free kick against, it was Brentford, wasn't it? So he took Fulham up, and I can't remember how he started. When
I think he was poor in Belgium, weren't he?
Yeah, again, it's a manager who's taken a club up from the Championship, and they're always hard to turn down. I mean, we obviously had Karanka, who took Borough up, and look how that worked out. Scott Parker, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say no to. Did well with Fulham, particularly in the Championship. I'm not sure where he's been recently or how he's been getting on, but again, a manager with Premier League experience is, yeah, hard to turn down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're getting to the point, aren't we, where any single football manager around the world now is just going to start getting mentioned somehow to Burnley.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Pep Collette was in the Roosie of a week, do you know what I mean? What's he saying?
Like, he was actually, yeah.
Yeah, like...
Yeah. I know.
He was... he will always go down, in my opinion, as like a really great coach. Just didn't seem to fit a manager's role.
Yeah, it's a good people coach.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why he and Monk works well with that team, because he did all like the headbutting and all that sort of stuff and trying to get the best out of his players and everything. And then Klosett did all the good technical sides of things and kept the players' morale up and everything. And I think that's why he steadied the ship that season afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it was a hard season to take. Obviously, losing Monk, losing our captain, losing our striker, losing our best playmaker in Jota as well. But like, for what we could have been, like, could you imagine if we'd gotten fucking Wayne Rooney at that point, so that type of manager after Gary Monk had been sacked? Jesus Christ, we'd have been in like utter carnage, that team. But yeah, I think he wouldn't be like a bad shout for somebody to bring in, because I don't know about you guys, but I feel like Cole and O'Shea have probably been a bigger issue, really. I don't think they've got on with the players or the fans or things, because I think with Eustace, he was a coach, obviously. He wasn't a manager. But although he did have very good managerial skills, doesn't he? I think the players got along with him well, didn't they? And they respected him. But really, I think what was good with Eustace was his team. And it was like a whole team environment, wasn't it? That's how it felt. Yeah. And that the clapping at the end of the games and everything was really helpful for that sort of thing as well, even though we weren't playing particularly great at times. But yeah, I don't know. It's... yeah, I feel like that's something we could perhaps bring in, like a type of Klotet sort of coach to go alongside with a proper big manager like a Steve Cooper or someone like that. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of off the pitch stuff, in terms of Cole and O'Shea, it's tough to know what sort of impact they had or what they were like, because there's been so many rumours going around today about behind the scenes, all this sort of stuff, and it's hard to know when you're not in the know sort of thing. I think with Rooney, it seemed a bit, I don't know, seem a bit thrown together sort of thing, the whole combination of Cole, O'Shea, Rooney, just different names, big names who are just...
It felt like too much.
I know Cole, Cole was at Derby and everything, but I'd want a manager who's got his set backroom staff that he's had for years and has worked with, you know, religiously and know exactly what they're doing and coming into the club with a plan and an idea, because with Rooney, a lot of it seemed to be sort of made up as they went. I mean, I don't know about you. We know how Rooney wanted to play. We know he wanted to play no fear football, possession based, play out from the back. But if you weren't told that and you had to watch those 15 games and say, what style of football did Rooney want to play? I couldn't have told you. I'd have had no idea. So whoever comes in, they need their set backroom staff, experience, who know what they're doing. Because at the end of the day, I know Rooney, Cole and O'Shea are all new to the managerial and coaching thing, but said this to my dad earlier, being a player and being a manager are two completely different things, and no one can tell me otherwise. I really, really think, because some people will say, oh, well, if you're a good player, chances are you're going to be a good manager. But I think they're such different roles, and you just don't know how a player who was at the top of their game for years is going to translate into management. And for Rooney so far, it's certainly not looking great. So, I mean, he had a 13% win rate under us, 26 for DC United, not much more for Derby. It's just not working for him, is it?
I think the problem with managers like Rooney, and I think it works with, there's like Scholes and Neville as well. I think a lot of those older players who are like legends in the game and everything, they get it too easy, in my opinion, starting out as managers, you know, because like you think of other managers and they've had to work their arse off just to get to Blues in the first place, you know, and that type of Championship team where they've had to come through the rankings and they've learned how to be a manager and a coach. I mean, like, I swear Thierry Henry got his coaching licenses in Wales or something like that in like a day. It's like stuff like that shouldn't happen. You know, you should like you earn your medals and everything. You know what I mean? It's like you work your way through it. But I feel like Rooney, obviously, he was a player at Derby, and then he's sort of been put into that sort of category where he can then become the head coach. And then that was the idea with John Terry at Villa as well. I think the idea was eventually that after Dean Smith moves out, then they put Terry in charge, and then realizing that wasn't going to work and things weren't going to work out that way, they moved them both out. And obviously, they've had a bit of a sticky period with Gerrard, who obviously is linked with us. We mentioned that earlier, which we don't want. But like with bringing in Unai Emery, like they've worked that out now. And Unai Emery's not had easy jobs before, obviously. I say, you know, he's been at Arsenal, he got ridiculed there. So I think managers we need to look at are somebody who's been proven. And perhaps the best name out there is probably Tony Mowbray, because he's been around the block, isn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I know his brand of football sometimes isn't the most exciting, but if for me the most important thing almost here is, I know I said I'd love Premier League experience, but if you know the Championship like the back of your hand and you've taken teams up and you've worked in those lower divisions, I almost think that can be more beneficial than a manager who's done it abroad or in the Premier League. If you know the division you are playing in, that's got to be a huge advantage. So, yeah, someone like Tony Mowbray again. There's so many good options. There really are. I said it earlier, but we really are spoiled for choice, aren't we?
Yeah. No, I think it's good as well, because we can take our time with it now and find out who the best choice is. But, yeah, let's have a look at who else, what the chat are saying. Be sure to get some questions in as well. We'll be answering them on the stream and everything. We should talk about a few players. So, obviously, Jordan James has been linked with Atalanta today. Huge blow if it's true. Obviously Fabrizio Romano has spoke about this, so there's a very reliable source. This is a painful one for me, actually, because I'm a big fan of his and a big campaigner of his, really. I've wanted him to play proper football for a while now. I think he's up to the task, and obviously he's not been up to his usual form lately. I do feel like he's dropped off, but there again, most of the team has. But it'd be a shame to see him go. But Jamie, you were saying that it'd be good to have like a Butland situation before we started the podcast, saying that he'd go out and
He's so young. Like, you're not, I'm sorry, Atalanta, but I don't see them buying him to lob him straight into Serie A football. I just don't. It ain't gonna happen. So why not just send him back for 6 months and go, look, we're buying him however he's yours till the end of the season. Cool. Like, because it just wouldn't, what would it make sense to sell it? You know what, I could eat my hat here and happily watch him start and play games in Italy, and that'd be fine. And I'd be buzzing for the man, because he's been a good servant for us even at his young age. He came in at a hard time when we had hardly any midfielders under Boyu, weren't it? And he just played and he did well. So you can't begrudge the guy that he hasn't, you know, grafted. And even this season under them 15 games of dross we just had to watch, you couldn't deny that JJ tried. When he came to that team, he gave it everything he could. He tried his hardest. And he gave it a good go. Like, he's the one who's put the effort in, but it's painful when you think that we've got a youngish team and he would have been one of their names that you kind of go, right, we should build around JJ. So if we do lose him...
Yeah, it's the fact as well that we just don't change as a football club as well, because, I mean, like, this is always happening throughout our history, but, like, we make a great young player. You know, he's got the world at his feet and everything. You know, Bellingham, Redmond, Gray, Butland. You can even say Joe Hart and Ben Foster obviously have been, you know, couldn't have been the players they were if they didn't have come to us. You know, and we just lose them straight away. You know, Jordan Much and Jordan James and, you know, those type of players, really. So it's like, we don't see any of them, you know. Like, we've seen absolutely bugger all of Jordan James, really. Like, for the performances he's put in for what, 19, however old he is now?
19, 20, 20 at best.
Like, to be fair, some of the backlash that Jordan James got for his performances when he was 17, 18, I thought was ridiculous.
Shocking.
Jordan James, he made like 50 Blues appearances before like his 18th birthday or his 19th birthday. I think Jordan James has been superb for us since the moment he stepped foot on St Andrews for the first time. I think he's such a valuable asset. I was controversially on the sort of side of things when Job left that we shouldn't have sold Job. And I know that situation was a bit different because he wasn't getting the game time and he wanted to go, seemingly. But it's such a shame to see us letting go of our fantastic players, our fantastic young players. Since Jordan James has come in, I think he's been excellent. This season, he's gotten a lot more game time. Pre-season, he was fantastic, got a couple of goals. Since Rooney's put more trust in Jordan James to start, and he's cemented himself in that front four. He's been excellent, banging in the goals, getting a few assists here and there. I'd be gutted if we lost Jordan James. I think 4 million, 4.5 million is far too low. I think we deserve way more for him.
The same case with Jude Bellingham, wasn't it? Fucking hell, we only got 20 odd million for him, for the one of the greatest players of his generation.
Yeah, but I guess at the time for Jude, because he was 16, it was a bit of a risk, so I can see why the money was lower, because as good as he looked at the time, I think we've had this debate slash conversation before. I mean, as good as Jude looked at the time, Dortmund were taking a risk in spending 26 million, which is a lot of money on a 16-year-old, and it couldn't have worked out. It obviously did in the end, and he's become as big as he has. But for Jordan James, as I said, 4 million, it's too low. It's far too low for a 19-year-old who's been a consistent championship player for a couple of years now. We deserve more than 4 million. It'd be so unfair if we got less, to be honest.
If that is the true figure, and I mean, the GOAT that is Fabrizio has said it himself, there wants to be some fucking interesting salon clause bullshit in there. There wants to be some clauses and some fees going on there. Because if we are losing someone of that stature for 4.5 million, and it's euros, isn't it? It's not even sterling. So it's going to be even lower, surely.
Is it lower or higher, euros? I can't remember.
Euros is just lower, I think.
Just lower, yeah. Yeah, so it would be like 3.8 if he goes for 4 million. Then it's pittance.
Absolute joke, that is. That is painfully, like, there's got to be like some big sell-on clause, there's got to be international appearance clause, there's got to be goals playing in Champions League, there's got to be ways we get money in for this.
Yeah, or as John Morrell is maybe alluding to, like, maybe to avoid financial fair play issues, that could be something up there, because obviously, I mean, I know it ticks round at the end of the season, but there's also, you know, is it worth doing it at this early point? I mean, we're pretty good at that at the moment, really, just jumping the gun on things when we could be getting a bit more for him. But yeah, I don't know. It might be.
I think the owners already come out and said, didn't they, that they weren't going to splash the cash in January unless there's outgoings. So I don't know if this is playing into their thoughts, and they've received an offer and thought, if we build him for the future.
But then
again, when you're trying to sell a 19, 20-year-old for 4 million, it's like, we ain't going to get a better replacement for 4 mil. And
he is the future, isn't he? That's the issue, though, isn't it? Like, I mean, I know I read this earlier, and I can't remember who said it, so I didn't really believe much of it, but someone basically was saying to me that from what they've heard, so I don't, again, don't take my word for it, is that we're doing that, we're going to use that money to activate the release clauses of Drama and Iowa, so we unlock two loans, like loan spaces now for this January window.
Drama. I'd take Drama. I wouldn't 100%. Take Iwu, really. Yeah. I think that Kevin Long and even Mark Roberts actually have played better than him in these last few games. And if he is this ball-playing centre-back, well, I'm sorry, I haven't seen any of that, to be honest, really, because him playing at right-back, fair enough, you know, it's not his natural position or his intended position. But I'd take Sanderson and Long over Sanderson and Iwu, honestly. And obviously, Dion's club captain. But even he's not been playing that greatly lately. But yeah, I'm not a great fan of Iwu's. I know you tries and everything, but like, I don't know, for a loan spell as well, I'd prefer to send him back if anything, and then just get somebody else in who's going to do the same, really. But yeah, I mean, like, I think the thing is with Jordan James, like, 4 million, like, for a player of his standards, can we not be a bit more like West Brom sort of attitude and just keep hold of him for a bit rather than just going, right, 4 million, oh yeah, we're gonna have to do it. Unless he wants to go, then why are we accepting 4 million quid for him? Like, that is so low, it's ridiculous.
I think,
like,
to be fair, I was going to say, the only thing that was good under Rooney was Jordan James actually got a consistent spell in the team. Even under Eustace, he didn't really play back-to-back games very often.
Yeah, Eustace was the one who played in the least. That's the thing that really frustrated
me. At least it's proven that, you know, JJ can be, you know, the player to bring this club forward if he decides to stay. And I think for 4 mil, we have got to try everything.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think to try and keep hold of him.
Definitely, yeah.
Because I think for 4 mil, like I said, we're not going to get replacement. And unless it's financial fair play, that's the only reason why we would accept that.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't he just pen a fucking contract in the last couple of months? Or am I being a div here? Hasn't he recently signed a contract?
I don't think so.
Or am I thinking of the other youth players? I know
it might have been Alfie Chang.
Alfie Chang signed one.
I'm willing to be wrong.
I think George Hall signed one recently as well, did he not?
I think that was the issue with all of them at the start, because obviously we had George Hall, Joe Bellingham, JJ, and it was like all these talents, we couldn't have kept all of them. So we got rid of Joe for, what was it, 3 mil or something. And I think we can't let JJ go as well. Like, we've already let one go. So I think we need to keep hold of James now.
Yeah, fucking one person who definitely can go back is Ollie Burke. It's something a lot of people are saying.
I'm seeing it,
shit in the bed, honestly. He's been fucking appalling since he's come in. I know I'm going off on a bit one tonight, but Jesus Christ. Yesterday, like, all he did was, as soon as the ball went forward, because we ran out of ideas, he did that stupid hop, skip and jump, and the ball just flew over his head every single time. It's like, mate, come on, just do something other than that. But he's not a striker. He's not a winger. Send him back. He's a waste of a loan space. Same with Iwu. I'd send him back as well.
Pace. He is just pace. Right, I'm telling you all now, if Burke wasn't fast, he'd not play in the Vanarama National League. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says. He is literally... I don't understand how you can have that much pace and the worst first touch I've ever seen on a football. Like, it's awful.
He's a bit like Leko in that way, I suppose, isn't he?
You leave Leko alone.
No, am I not allowed to talk about Jonathan Leko anymore?
You leave Lecadini all alone, Mason.
Oh, I know.
He tried.
But that's the thing. But Peter Falk
has scored at least.
Well, yeah, true, actually. That is a good point. But he did have more time to score. It took him ages to score as well. But like Peter's saying in the comments here, though, like, Rooney loved playing Burke. And like that's the thing. Like, when he was in his first game, Rooney, like with Middlesbrough and everything, didn't he start? Or I swear he put some weird team out. And it was like, we've just beaten West Brom. We're on a fairly decent run of form. We've just scored 7 goals in our last 2 games. And you stick in like players who are just not in the form that they are. And, you know, Burke probably could have done a little bit better under Eustace. Obviously, it was a bit of a weird sign to make. It was quite a last-minute one as well, though, wasn't it? But, like, I think the players who Rooney has tried to favour upon in the times, like Burke and Iwu, haven't worked because he's tried to come up with a different way of playing. And, you know, whether Eustace would have implemented them differently, because obviously Iwu didn't get like a proper run of games until Rooney came in. Obviously, Eustace played him a little bit off the bench. But yeah, he made some fucking strange decisions, Rooney did. I really don't get it.
Yeah, I think part of it was at the start, certainly experimenting with the team. In the last 3, 4, 5 games, we started to see a more consistent lineup, didn't we? I think Burke has just not worked out at Blues, has he? And it's a shame, because there's actually is a good footballer in there. He was sold for £30 million. He did quite well at Forest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the frustrating thing is there is a good footballer in there.
Yeah, that is true.
Where? It's just not worked at Birmingham.
Where?
Well, this is the thing. It's just not worked at Birmingham. We've seen a few examples of that. And Doi, prior to coming to Blues, was doing so well in League One. He comes over and it just doesn't work. So for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked.
I have heard West Brom fans say he's the fucking worst signing in history. He is their worst signing. Oliver Burke. They have literally said he is their worst signing in history.
No, I get what you mean though, Zach. Like, there is a decent player in there somewhere, because obviously he's been at Bremen. He was obviously, when he came for Forest, he was looking good. He just can't find a position, in my opinion, though. It was a bit like Adams before he had his breakthrough season. I remember my dad turning to me, it might have been at Forest actually, when he scored his first goal that season, just saying to me, like, what is he? Is he a winger? Is he an attacking midfielder? Mm-hmm. Is he a striker? It's like, he's got all this potential, and yet, like, he doesn't seem to ever get many goals. And then he went on and scored 22 goals. So more of those comments, Dad, you can speak it into existence. But
I think he was just a rush signing, weren't he? Like, I think we are a bit short even now, especially if Stansfield goes back to Fulham and they sell him, they'll be left with Duke and Hogan again. And it's like, then where do we go? And Hogan's looking to leave as well.
Yeah, Hogan'd be good to go.
I've seen that he was on like a loan and then to run out his contract and then purchase at the end of the season, weren't it? But then it's like, where do we stand? But then we're back, you know, Duke. he can't do it. He's past it, you know. And it's like,
yeah,
who do we do? Do we sign someone and then to sign a good striker? We ain't got the money. And I think that I did say over Christmas that Dixon was meant to be training with the first team, weren't he? Mm. And I'm not sure whether he will get a chance now. But yeah, something needs to happen in the striker position.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I think.
Sorry, let's have a one sec. Let's have a quick answer of some questions because we probably have been missing a few off. Just go through a few of these. Let's have a look. Surely Eustace should get his team back. This is obviously arguing for Eustace to come back. Remarkable. We were even discussing other names. He's still on the payrolls. Good point, actually. Should never have lost his job. Give him his team back, surely. How could you argue it? I mean, he's not on the payroll, but we're paying his contract off, I imagine, aren't we, from sacking him?
To be honest, the main thing about that is I don't think he would want it. You wouldn't want to come back to a team. And even if he did, he knows he's getting sacked again at the end of the season. And I think that is the biggest.
Unless you do turn around to him and give him like something to go for this time. You can't turn around and go, listen, how many points are on at the minute? Let's say, for example, I won 57 points by the end of the year. If you can do that, job's yours, lad. Cool. Get me safe by April. Cool.
I don't think there's any incentive in the world that would make John Eustace want to come back. I couldn't blame him. He was fobbed off for a bigger name and it hasn't worked. And I bet he's probably sat at home laughing. And who can blame him? Because we shouldn't have made the decision to sack him. We did, and it's all gone wrong. So I'd love Eustace back. I've said how much I like him as a manager, but I can't see a world in where he'd want to.
No. Yeah.
Simple as that.
Although I did see just then that he has done an article with Football League World. So, or maybe, I don't know, maybe he is interested in coming back. So, yeah. I mean, the other players that people are interested in talking about, obviously Junior Dixon is someone Blues Academy has been promoting a lot lately. He's been fantastic in the under-21s, is it, Zach?
Junior Dixon?
Mm.
Yeah, been scoring the goals for them. Yeah, I was just going to say actually prior to that, I'm glad Ramel Donovan's got his chance because he was looking brilliant in the youth setup, and that's probably one of two positives that have come from Rooney is that Ramel Donovan's got his chance, and when he came on against not Bristol City, the one before that Tuesday midweek, who was that again? Yeah, Stoke.
Yeah,
obviously contributed heavily to that goal, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And every time he's come on, he's looked, you know, really, really strong. So, yeah, I think Ramel Donovan getting some first-team action is thoroughly deserved.
Yeah. We will answer some of the other questions. So I've seen there's a few Super Chats as well. Sorry, I'm doing all this moderating by myself at the same time. So FPLN's Ezo, I think we'll answer that question towards the end, actually. It's a good question to sort of end, actually. So it's like a good sort of rounding question to finish off the podcast with, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like with players like Junior Dixon and Ramel Donovan, George Hall, Alfie Chang when he comes back, you know, and some of the other players who are, you know, obviously like Championship approved, but like they're not entirely too experienced yet, like Ethan Laird, Tyler Roberts, who played well against Leeds. I thought he was, you know, showing some grit. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like a manager like a Rowett or a Mowbray would suit the team. And that's the thing that I really, really want to emphasize, actually, if anything. It's the fact that we need to put the team first again, you know. Forget about the name and the brand and everything. The brand don't grow if the team don't grow and the fans don't come then. And then, you know, the business is gone, you know. So what we really need is the football that we all appreciate, you know, that we all enjoy, and something that's going to get us wins and something that's going to be entertaining at the same time. In all honesty, at this current stage, I can't think of a better name than Gary Rowett, because people will be tossing and turning with things like, if we get Steve Cooper in, if we get Tony Mowbray in. But we've had Gary Rowett before, so he understands the team. He gets some of the players as well, because he, you know, he's worked with Duke before. He's probably worked with a few other players as well in his time as manager as well. So he could probably get a tune out of them. I swear he's worked with Ollie Burke as well at Millwall. So, like, there's opportunities there for him.
And Paul Robinson will likely come with Gary Rowett, who's you know, Robert. Obviously he's experienced at Millwall. We good all love Robert at the Blues. So it'd be good to have him back. But it's sort of, for me, the same situation with Eustace. Why why would he want to come back when he was sacked and doing a good job? To be fair, to counter that argument, actually, and play devil's advocate, I think the fact that it was different owners back then may be a bit different to the Eustace situation. Mm. With the same owners having sacked Eustace, definitely not. But I guess with the Rowett situation, it's a new group now. He might have a bit more trust into him. So yeah, that potentially Rowett might want to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I would personally, my ideal one to come back would be Gary Monk, because obviously I can already hear my dad and my brother laughing at me for saying that. But I just loved that team, you know, and I thought we were great. You know, we were so exciting to watch. But I think he would probably work as well. But if he had carried on his sort of managerial career, but he's never been anywhere else since Sheffield Wednesday after he left us. So yeah. Rowett has at least been in a job this year or in the last few months. So yeah, I think he's out of the two, obviously the better one, really. But yeah, people are saying that obviously he's a boring manager and everything. I don't know. Obviously, I didn't really keep up with the Blues at that time. I was sort of like drifting in and out of the results at the time because obviously it was the owners and everything was crap. So I just started to stop going for a bit. So I don't know what. I don't really remember much of Rowett football.
I think I think Rowett would play a similar sort of style to what we saw when he was at Blues and recently at Millwall, and it's probably not the most exciting football. Having said that, apart from the sort of end of his time at Millwall, it was a system that got results. I think a lot of managers in the Championship prefer a more defensive style of football given the physicality of the league. I think if we did get Rowett, that's probably going against the owners want for no fear football. I'm not saying, you know, Rowett's players look scared when they had the ball, but it is a more defensive sit back style of football, and let the team sort of keep the ball and sit back a bit. So for me, that's probably something the owners don't want and aren't going for in Rooney. They wanted an attacking manager who played attacking football, and it didn't quite work, did it? So whether Rowett is the man that the owners want to have at the club, I think he's probably not.
Yeah, I think that that's the big one. It's whether the owners back down on their word of wanting to play this attacking football, because you've seen us under Monk, Eustace, you know, Rowett. They're all defensive-minded like managers, and we were built from the back. And obviously, Rooney never worked out. Zola, it never worked out. And it's like, do they go with someone who's proven to be solid at the back and get us through this season? But then will someone take it if they want to move on at the end of the season? It's like I've said throughout this podcast, it's we are caught in two minds, whether we look short term just for now or we still want to go in this, you know, attacking football.
I would say, though, really quickly, that I don't think that the owners are all for this possession-based football. I think that was Rooney's idea, that was. So I think that what they really want is football that they know, as a business, people are going to come and watch, which I have no idea why they appointed Wayne Rooney for that job, you know. And obviously, I get the name, but if that's the only reason that he was really appointed, and not because that John Eustace was going through a really bad spell, it wasn't like he'd lost 15 on the bounce or anything ridiculous like that, like he had done with was in like a really bad run of form. Obviously, he didn't lose 15 on the bounce. Fuck me. I'd be absolutely kicking off if we'd lost 15 on the bounce. But like, he was doing bad towards the start of 23. But then obviously, we didn't have the time or anything to replace him at the time. So he obviously kept his job. But you know, like, if that was the only reason that Rooney was put in, you know, fair enough. Like, not fair enough, sorry. Like, fair enough, like, you want to sack Eustace for this sort of change, like a bigger name manager, and you want attractive football that people will pay to come and watch and will be there all the time for. Why Rooney? You know, why not a bigger manager or something like that? So, yeah, I don't think that they buy into Rooney's football. I think they bought into the idea of what it could have offered them as a business. And look, Gary Cook is not interested as like a football manager, is he? You know, he's a businessman at the end of the day. And I think people have been putting too much stick on him lately for having too much of the sort of how the football is played, really. And he's not got any say in that at all, has he, really? Let's be honest. Like, he's just here for the business for the Blues, and that was absolutely evidence at the open house. And that's why he set us in different groups, and he got Rooney to do the, you know, the sessions with Carter and Gardner and Hope Powell as well. So it was just away from all the other talk then.
I've said this before when it comes to Mr. Cook, and I'll say it again. He was the one who was there when Man City started the global dominance. He also was in the Saudi League. The man, in terms of a business, knows what he's doing. Let him be. Even if this was his influence to bring in Rooney, he's made a mistake. Okay, cool. But let's take all the great stuff that Knighthead's done since they took over this football club. And yeah, okay, it's happened. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone learns from their mistakes. It's okay. We're Birmingham City and we make mistakes all the bloody time anyway. It's okay. These things happen. But listen, the man knows what he's doing and I'm sure he wants the best for this club. If boo-boo happened, it's happened now. There's not a lot we can do about it. We've just got to get on with it and move on now. Rooney's gone and 99, if not 98% of fans got what they wanted this morning, which was Wayne Rooney has parted company with Birmingham City. Cool, it's done. Let's look to the future and let's bring in a new manager and let's just full send it now and let's get through this season. Because we have got to still be careful. We have still got FFP over us and it's one of them suspended sentences, isn't it, on FFP point deduction.
Yeah,
so if we do piss about, we will get drop points.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be a bit careful as well. And it is what it is. It's happened. We tried. It failed. Cool. Fine. Whatever. Bring in another manager. Bring me some stability and let's move on.
Yeah, so carry on.
I was just going to say the sacking of Rooney actually showed what Cook was about. You know, it could have been quite easy if he was a stubborn businessman to say, no, I made this decision. It's going to work out. And thankfully, he obviously does know some. He knows what it's about to be a football man as well, not just a businessman, because he obviously seen the results weren't happening. He's seen the disconnect from the players and the fans as well. So at least Gary Cook made a decision now, and it was the right time to make the decision just before the transfer window. And if you're saying he's just a businessman, he wouldn't have done that. So at least he can show that he's a football man as well as a businessman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that is true. Although I don't know, it's hard to say, obviously, from looking on the outside, really. But yeah, I mean, obviously, he would have made the final decision on to sack him. So it's an interesting time. But we are going to finish up in about 10 minutes, I reckon. So we'll get your last questions into the comments. We're going to be blasting through a few of those. But very quickly, just whilst those comments are coming through, guys, I want to go quick fire. Who do you want in? Go.
The dream is Steve Cooper, isn't it?
Yeah,
Sorry, Zach.
No, Steve, mate, you said it for me. Steve Cooper.
Two Steve Coopers.
Cooper to be dreaming, but let's all do a realistic one as well. I'd probably say Mowbray.
Yeah. I mean,
we want Steve Cooper. It's probably going to be Neil Warnock, but we want Steve Cooper. I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't say no. For the means alone, I'd want Neil.
Oh.
Bye, Jamie.
Yeah. I've seen somebody just said, well said, Jamie, as he blacked out on the screen.
Sorry, someone's trying to call me. Like, I'm on my phone and I'm...
Do you not know I'm on a podcast?
Literally, I'm not.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Lee Carsley as well, I wouldn't say no to.
Yeah, definitely. Hassan Hüttl as well, people were saying that. I'm not a big fan of that idea.
Yeah,
no.
I'm not a fan either.
Not inspired by it. I don't think it'll be big. Because like with Cooper, like he's only just been promoted, isn't he? I think that sort of raw energy is still there. He's kept a team in the fucking Premier League as well in that time. So I feel like people would be really appreciative of that sort of stuff. Warnock as well, obviously, I think that's a different style. I think if you were to go for Warnock, it would be like, hello, Jamie. I think if you're going to appoint Warnock, it would be end of the season contract. And keep us in the division. That's the only type of thing I'm expecting from that.
He took Huddersfield from being in the bin. They were in the bin last year when he took them over.
Yeah, but I don't want that. You know, I don't think we are relegation. We're just halfway through the season at the moment. So I think you get Steve Cooper in, like bigger name and bigger manager, really. I think we can push back up towards the top of the table. Not just sort of hover above.
Even after, you know, the results we've been on, I think to separate us in sixth, it's like 12 points. Or something like that. So it's not a massive difference. You know, you string a few victories together and, you know, we'll be in mid-table. So I think, I don't want a short-term manager because he doesn't give any faith to them to do a job or the players because it's like no one knows what will happen again next year. And, yeah.
Yeah, now's not the time with the window having just opened as well. Maybe. But to just counter your point, I am still concerned that we could be, you know, fighting this season for our lives, because we're only 5 or 6 points off the drop. And as you said, Ben, you know, a few victories and we're mid-table, but a few victories for Rotherham QPR Wednesday, it's a different story. And we said at the end of last season, like midway through the season, we'll be fine this season. And then would you look at what happens when another battle? Sheffield Wednesday beat Hull 3-1 on the other day.
I don't know, though. I think we just can worry about ourselves, though. That's the thing, because I think we've got good enough players to win enough games. I think we can beat Stoke in the reverse fixture. I think we can win against Swansea at the next weekend. I think we can beat Hull in the cup as well. I don't think we need to worry about the team too much. It's just, as long as we get the right guy in, then he'll win us games and we'll go back up towards the mid-table section, which I think will be acceptable for the season.
I think if we get any proven manager and his backroom staff with a full transfer window, I think all that should get us safe.
I think that
is what we need.
We'll be okay. I don't think we won't be in danger of going down. I really don't think so. I think, like you said, Tommy, this squad is too good. The problem is 80% of the squad is actually made of like paper mache. That's the other issue we've got with them. They are literally like one bad shoulder barge and someone's out with a dislocated shoulder for 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be super careful. And, you know, if Rowett wants to play this, if we did ever bring Rowett in, he played this aggressive big boy football that we just hoof up to the striker, we're going to have 17 injuries a week. And it ain't going to happen.
Well, I don't know with Djukovic, because he could literally have a 10-ton brick put on his head and he'd still be all right.
I mean, how many times have we seen Djukovic basically...
He'll let it back.
Djukovic basically practices Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu every week. He just gets ripped to the ground and, like, choke hold. And then the ref just goes, "Nah, you're right. Don't worry about it."
Maybe he'll be manager after the end of the season.
Give it Djukovic at the end of the season.
Just subs himself on. I've had enough of this.
Yeah, also a couple of other really quick ones. Paul Heckingbottom, obviously, in the mix as well. Rafa Benitez, I don't know about that one. I wouldn't be particularly too pleased with that one. Knowing where we're going as well, with sort of trying to get back towards the top of the table, I don't think Benitez would be the best choice, in my opinion. Obviously, people are saying Eustace as well to get him back in. And obviously, there's always stuff about Graham Potter if some miracle, massive payout or not. But I just don't think it's going to happen. And Jesse Marsh, nah, I'm not up for that. But we will answer the last question before we leave from FPL Ease. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm not even going to butcher the attempt. Who says, the best three players for Blues in 2023 is Bielik up there. So who wants to keep that one up?
Bielik was up there until Wayne Rooney stepped through the door of Birmingham City. And I don't know what happened to Bielik. I don't know if the ghost of Derby had like bitten him or something, but... My God, like, I felt so bad for him these last 2 months. Bielik just needs to forget ever existed in his football career. Because
what I would say though is he was pretty poor when he come back after the World Cup. He did have that spell of games where he was poor, and obviously maybe it's just because he was trying his hardest to get into the Polish team, and then at the end he just. But he does go through spells.
I mean, if you go in top three, I don't see how Lee Buchanan's name isn't mentioned.
Lee Buchanan. I think a lot of the signings...
Definitely this season,
If
I had to say my three, I'd say, from this season anyway, I'd say Stano, Dembele and Jordan James. Those would be my three.
If you're talking in terms of the whole year, so the January to December, I'd have Austin Trusty up there.
For sure. Good shout.
Manny Longello, Zach?
Nah, as much as I do like him, even I'm brave enough to admit when he's not doing very well. Nah, not Longello, mate. Not Longello.
What a shame.
Don't get a bite.
I'm not biting.
I hope we don't do the same that we did with Longello, with Ayru, because Longello was on loan, weren't he? He did a semi-decent job, and then we signed him. And I hope we don't do that with Ayru.
Whoever at West Ham United Football Club convinced us that we have to pay a money sum for this man needs a promotion instantly.
He's trying to wind promotion.
I'm just sitting here quietly.
You've been good for not taking the bait lately, actually.
I have. I'm sitting.
You've been very good.
I'll wait for the long, alone conversation to pass on, and then I'll
he just needs to be more forward. That's my only thing. Well, I'm not getting into a Manny Longello debate today, but the only thing I'll say is he shouldn't be at left back. Play more forward. Cool. I'll leave it at that.
Also, people are saying that Reda Khadra and Siriki Dembele, of course, but he was good for us. I mean, he was in a very poor team towards the end of the season, though, as well, wasn't he?
What would you say on Sanderson then, becoming captain?
I don't think he's captain material. I think he's.
Would you say he's been one of the best this 2023 or no?
Hannibal? Not this year. No, I don't think so. I think he was okay when he came in last season, like towards the start of last season.
Yeah.
I think Trusty was the more consistent. I think I was a bit more frustrated we didn't go for him than Sanderson.
Yeah,
obviously, Sanderson's obviously cheaper.
Yeah.
But he's still good on his day, you know. You can't knock him, but I don't think the style of football Rooney's implemented, because they've put so much pressure on the back line, haven't they, in terms of playing out from the back and moving the team forward from that sort of way. I don't think he was that bad when it just came to him on the odd occasion and he just played it through to the middle, but putting so much pressure on it. And the amount of times, like, obviously Rooney has been sacked now, but I'm still going to go on this rant. The amount of times that we had the ball yesterday, and this goes over all the games that Rooney's been in charge with, that we had the ball in the middle a bit of the pitch. We had a fucking counter-attack on at one point. Siriki Dembele plays it into, I think it's Sunjic or somebody. But because they know the style of football they're trying to implement, and obviously they can't go forward, so they think they've got to play back, and they played it all the way back to John Ruddy. I'm just like, oh, come on, we had a counter-attack going. What are we doing? Honestly, it was so infuriating. So I'm just, thank God that football is over, really. But I do think that Deion Sanderson has been getting a bit of a hard rap, really, with the Rooney football.
Watch Deion turn up now. I'm telling you now.
They'll all turn up.
Deion Sanderson will be like prime Maldini next week, and then we'll all be like, what's going on here?
They wanted this decision. I don't blame them as well, really. Like, you can tell on their faces. Like, they didn't want to play that football. They were happy with playing the football that Eustace was trying to get them to play, which was too late, let's be honest. And I think, though, that players like Sanderson, who was good in the start of last season, obviously, if we had Austin Trusty in this team as well, I think that team would be like levels above, really. Obviously, he's now playing in Sheffield United, who's a big, in a Premier League team, you know. But, you know, it's hard to say now, really. So I don't know. We've got to just get wins and pull a team together that we know can play well on the pitch. But we've completely forgot about our list, because somebody has just said John Ruddy should be in the top three. And that's a solid opinion.
Last season and until Rooney walked in, yes. But I'm going to keep throwing this one out there until I get an answer. Hannibal Medjugorje. Where would we all stand on Hannibal Medjugorje?
He's up there for sure. I mean,
in terms of bringing him back as well, last year. He's not playing at United. Why not?
He is getting a few minutes at United, to be fair. I think Man United wanted 15 million for him, and that's not happening, is it?
15?
I think they wanted something ridiculous for him. I think it was 12 to 15 million. It was a stupid amount.
Why can't
they
demand that for Jordan James?
They valued him well out of our price range, put it that way, even to the point where I think Dortmund were talking about him, but they were put
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So there's, as much as I'd love Hannibal back, there's no way he would come back. Not for that price anyway. But he's a shout for the top three for sure.
So who are we going for then? We'll do it really quickly. Who are you thinking?
Bielik Buchanan.
It's tough, because when you can see, I think this season is easy. Maybe.
I'd have Ruddy, because I don't think we'd be anywhere without him. And we really,
if we do a top five, this is easy. If we did a top five, this would be so much nicer.
I would have Bakker in my list as well. Bakker. I know
that's an underrated shout.
He's been very consistent, and the positions he's played in, you know, he's done jobs at right back.
Didn't someone put it on Facebook the other day, or I saw it online somewhere, say Bakker's played in pretty much every position bar goalkeeper and centre half this year.
Yeah.
He's done a job
last year.
He does get criticised a lot, just his like manners on the pitch. He always looks not interested, but he is interested, and he does put in a shift, so.
Yeah, do you know what I don't get? People say all the time, I hear people all the time, Bakker's lazy.
Yeah,
and I watch him, I'm like, He's ran loads. I know sometimes he can be a div and he can do a spin and he'll lose the ball and we'll get countered on. But that's what you get with that. Clearly, Rooney said to him, you are good enough. Play that football. You do you. I mean, how many times last year did we say he's our most technically gifted footballer at this club?
Yeah.
He's now got better players around him, arguably. Miyoshi. I mean, Koji Miyoshi is another one. He needs the next manager that comes in. I want Miyoshi beyond the striker. This is
we haven't even talked about him actually.
Koji Miyoshi is such a good footballer when he's not isolated on the right wing against some big shithouse left back. Yeah. Put him in beyond the striker. Like, he's so good when he's beyond the striker. And I know that divides opinions, but I like Miyoshi. I think he's a good little
footballer. I can't believe people don't like him. That's even more news to me.
I think it's just that type of play. You know, we've tried with, like, Villalba and Crowley. And, you know, they have good spells, but they never seem to work out. And
I completely get what you mean, yeah.
I'm hoping with Miyoshi he does actually turn up and suit English football. And we haven't seen that yet because he still gets pushed off the ball easily. It's only when he's got time and space, he makes stuff happen.
Yeah, but then my argument for that was under Eustace, you know, when he was playing beyond the striker and he'd be on that half turn, the amount of times he was on that half turn, he'd just go through.
Yeah.
And you were like, that's class. Like,
yeah, he should always play in the 10, always play in the 10.
That's what I mean. Under Rooney, he's getting put on the right wing. He's being asked to take the ball in close proximity when he's got two people tracking him down. And then bear in mind, for the first bit, he was great because he had Ethan Laird who could bomb over and over. Yeah. The last couple of games, he's had Iwu, who, as we learned from Stoke, and it's not his fault, he's being told to play that way, but if you're not quick enough to get back, don't fucking go forward, because all three goals against Stoke, arguably, are full-back errors, and it's painful to watch.
Yeah, so I think I would go top three-wise. I'll base it off players we literally couldn't survive without this season, so I'll go John Ruddy, Austin Trustee, and Jay Stansfield. Because without those three players, I don't think we'd have been anywhere. I think we could have even been in League One if we'd not had John Ruddy.
I don't disagree with
Ruddy
that.
Ruddy was class. Ruddy, I mean, we're all forgetting that Kevin Long came out of nowhere as well last year. Like, he started off abysmal. And then even the start, I mean, someone said to me, I think it was my cousin, I think Justin said to me earlier on the phone, he was like, until the Bristol game last week, he was still in like the top stats for defending this season. Yeah. He's been injured for 2 months. He's been
injured on the bench, Bruni. Well done. Good choice.
Like, what's going on? Like, he's so good. I'm done. I'm literally outspoken now about how confused I am about what's just happened.
Yeah,
at this club.
I think to wrap this podcast up, football and Blues, let's be honest, is a very simple game. You know, all the fans want pretty much the same thing, apart from like the odd tiny adjustments in the player here and there. But it's just exciting football that the fans can get up off their feet at and have a bit of a shout at, because everybody, and I don't care who you are, you could be the most conservative person in the world, you can be very calm. If you're a Blues fan and if you see Michael Kiftenbeld go through the back of somebody, you're up off your seat and you are going mental at it. You go, go on, son, get stuck in.
Bristol at home last Friday, for example, we had a 15-minute spell where we actually played good football against Bristol. What instigated that moment was Ivan Sundjic clattering someone on the halfway line. Snapping someone on the halfway line.
And look how much better we were for that period.
Got all the fans on their feet. So all we want, I don't know, I can't speak for every Birmingham fan who's watching this live, so guys, call me out if I'm wrong, but all I want personally, win or lose, I just want to know that my team gave everything. Leicester City, I applauded them off the pitch of that 3-2 loss because, like, you boys gave everything. Ipswich, the 2-2, you boys gave everything for 70 minutes and ran out of stamina at the end. And that's okay. It happens. You were playing second in the league. As all we want is just effort, graft, and just graft. Grind out results if you got to grind out results, but just give everything on that pitch. That's all I want. I miss having that Clifton Bell. I love having that Ivan to just absolutely write someone off in the middle of the park if they're not doing well. Get angry. Ivan doesn't wake up until he snaps on and off, and that's okay. That's what we get with him.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And the fans as well, that's the thing. Because as soon as that moment got going, then the people are interested. And I will refer, before we wrap this podcast up, is the fact that I understand that the owners might be frustrated and they might hear a lot of chat going on social media of loads of different opinions flying about and everything. But if I was to say something to them, it would be the fact that the fans do care because they keep on turning up. You know, to sell out a 19,000 tickets each game is still an enormous amount of fans, and you know, people to spend that money to come to pay petrol to get there, to get food from the ground and around the ground and everything. You've still got a very loyal fan base for a team that's been slumped in the Championship for 13 years now. That you just need to appeal to them. And as soon as you do, the atmosphere will start to come back. You know, the football will start to improve because of it. And the more you give us and what we want, and, you know, it's been so obvious as well with the start of the season. What did we want? New owners. We're happy again. We wanted the stands fixed. We're feeling better again. We wanted a good-looking kit, some good signings. And everything at the start of the season was absolutely spot on from the owners. What they've done wrong is the fact that they've tried to sort of expect too much maybe from Rooney and be like, well, we've done loads of great things for you here. Like, how about Wayne Rooney as the manager? Would that get you excited even more? And we've gone, well, no. And they've gone, oh, well, sorry, we've already made the decision. So here's Rooney. Oh, that's gone wrong. And now the atmosphere's gone and everything else has gone a little bit. So just reappeal to everything that we were initially like bought into. And that's all I'll say about it, really. And we're quite a simple fan base to please, I reckon, at the end of the day, really. I think that most people would be happy for that.
I think you've summed that up perfectly, yeah. Summed up perfectly, mate.
But yeah, thank you very much then, guys. We will wrap this one up. So this has been the Blues Focused podcast, another live one for you guys to get in on the chat and everything. I will hopefully have a stream moderator to help me out with some questions. I do apologize if I've missed a few. I have been trying, but we've got hundreds of viewers tonight, so it's really interesting to hear all you guys' thoughts. I have been reading them all. I haven't really read some out, so I do apologise for that, but we'll get on to those as soon as I can in future ones. But I will be doing a live watch-along for the whole game in the FA Cup. And also, we have got a very, very big podcast guest coming up soon. So, guys, be very excited about that. Trust me, when I say it's big, I mean, like, it's big, okay? So we've had big podcast guests before. It is mega big. So really get excited for that one. It will be coming out hopefully in the next few weeks. But yeah, that's all I can say at the moment. Some small things are just in the works. But thank you, Jamie, Zach and Ben, for your debut podcast. It's been great to have you on, mate. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's been really good. Yeah. So I will, yeah, I shall bid you farewell. So thank you for watching this episode of the Blues Focus podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe. You can also follow us on all the audio streaming services out there. And also be sure to subscribe to the channel. Thank you guys for joining me again. It's been great to have you on, and thank you everybody else for joining us on the stream. I've realized I actually haven't got the outro, so that's a bit of a stupid thing to do, so I will just end the stream here. So anyway, thank you guys for watching, and keep right on.
Keep right on.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.